chapter 45 and verse 5. I am the Lord, and there's no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the places of its setting, people may know there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there's no other. You may be seated. Well, say good morning. It's good for us again to be here when God has given us another opportunity to behold this blessed life, a life that we found in Christ to be a wonderful blessing to all who would obey his will. You know, I was thinking about Tyler's lesson about the well running dry and thought to myself that this is should be very appropriate, being that this is July and this is our evangelism month. The congregation has slated this month of July as the month of evangelism. And not only should this be a month of evangelism, but every day in our lives we should look to evangelize those that are without, that are outside of the body of Christ. But there are those people who feel they need to figure everything out. But I'm telling you that God has already worked everything out. Too many people feel they've got to figure everything out for themselves and for God, but Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, is that word settled in heaven." It's already settled in heaven. God has already worked it out. What you need to do is conform to his will. You know, we talk about wells, and I don't know if you're too familiar with wells at all. I grew up in Gramercy where they had a few wells there, and my mom used to have to go get her own water from the well, bring a bucket there, her and her sisters. But there are some things about wells that sometimes they just don't work like they ought to. And sometimes the wells just, they flat out, they run dry. And the first sign is the water is sputtering out of the tap. It's not coming out as it should. And that indicates that there might be some air pockets in that well. The second sign is that the water is not clear, but it might be muddy or filled with sediment. The bottom line is some people take their wells for granted. And they assume that they're pumping out an ample amount of clean, quality water. But the output from a well can reduce over time. So the only way to be sure your well is not going dry is to open up the cover of that well and measure the water level. Open it up and measure it. I want to read for you today from your hearing, from John chapter 4. It's a lesson that we're pretty familiar with, but most of the time all we see in that lesson is that this woman had five husbands, and Jesus told her that she had five husbands. I want to show you something from the standpoint of evangelism from John chapter 4, as we learn from the master teacher, Jesus Christ himself. John chapter 4, starting in verse number 27, if you will turn there. "And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, 'What seekest thou?' or 'Why talkest thou with her?' The woman then left her water pot and went on her way into the city, and said to the men, 'Come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?' Then they went out the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, 'Master, eat.' But he said unto them, 'I have meat to eat that ye know not of.' Therefore said the disciples one to another, 'Hath any man brought him aught to eat?' Jesus said unto them, 'My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to the harvest. And he that reapeth receive his wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.' So when the Samaritans come out unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. John chapter 4, usually is titled as the woman at the well. The woman at the well. But I want to tell you that it wasn't just a woman at the well, it was a woman at the well with Jesus. Every time in our lives, we need to understand that you can never go to the well too many times as long as Jesus is at the well. Amen? I want to say good morning to you. Now, we want to talk about wells, and I want you to know that as long as Jesus is at the well, you might be able to get a little something from that well. In that block of scripture in John chapter 4, verses 27 through 34, we see Jesus speaking with a Samaritan woman as the disciples returned from the city. You see, John chapter 4, at the beginning of John, tells us that they went to the city to buy food. And when they come back, they're astonished that Jesus is talking to this woman, but they respect Jesus enough not to question what he's doing. And so it's evident that the disciples are a little confused, they're a little inquisitive. So they need some instruction, and that instruction is about to happen. We all need a little instruction, especially when we sit at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus doesn't hesitate to give us that instruction, for we all need the very words of God in our lives. So the Samaritan woman, in her excitement, now she came to the well to draw water. Understand that. But the Bible says in her excitement, she left her water jar and she went back into the city, and she tells the people to come and see a man who could be the Christ. She's been moved from her spiritual darkness and blindness and is seeing what Jesus has to offer her at that well. She's moved, so she leaves everything that she came for. And she goes and shares the good news to the people in the city about who she has encountered. You ever get to a point in your life where you just want to tell people about Jesus? Have you ever got to that point in your life? Or have you forgotten that you have encountered Jesus in your life at all? Do you tell anybody? This is Evangelism Month. Okay, keep that in mind. And I don't want your well to run dry. I want you to be able to tell people about Jesus because you've met him and he's changed your life. And if you've never met him and he's never changed your life, let me tell you, he's waiting for you at the well. And I want to also tell those of you who've been to the well that you can never come to the well too many times. Jesus is still waiting at the well, and you need to tell people that you met him there. But then the story leaves the woman and focuses on the 12 and Jesus' instruction to the 12 to teach them, to teach us. But the disciples, they don't seem to be concerned with that. All they want to do is have Jesus to eat. They urge him to eat. We went to the city to get this food. We had this food for lunch, Master. Why don't you just eat? The chapter begins by saying he's tired from the journey. So to urge him to eat because we know you're tired. You've been traveling all day long. And Jesus says to those disciples, I have food to eat that you don't know anything about. Can you imagine leaving home and going down to Piccadilly's or Wendy's or any of those stores or Applebee's or anywhere, and you says, look, I'm going to get food for everybody. And you get back and you say, well, I got food already. You didn't know anything about it. Well, why you send me all the way down there to get this food when we had food already? They just don't understand. They don't get it. You see, Jesus uses the same language that he used with the Samaritan woman. And that language is a language to engage our spiritual hearts and our spiritual minds to bring the disciples up to where he is. The disciple says, well, where's this food at? Did someone bring you food to eat that we didn't know anything about? Because we went to get food for everybody. And now you're telling me you've got food that we didn't know anything about? Jesus says again, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. See, that's what evangelism is all about. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. The work of Jesus, as seen throughout the gospel, is to give eternal life. And I don't know about you. I don't know if you've taken eternal life seriously or you're just serious about coming to church. It's two different things. A lot of people are serious about coming to church, but they're not serious about eternal life. And if they're serious about coming to church, they don't know anything about eternal life because God says that we are the church. Jesus says, I've come to give eternal life. I didn't come to condemn the world, but I come to save the world and give the world eternal life. Jesus is the light that's come into the darkness of the world to bring sight to the blind so that they will not perish. Jesus wants us to see that it's not about us. It's all about the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation unto everyone that believes. So they wouldn't perish. It's the same thing that Jesus is exemplifying in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, when Satan was tempting him in the desert. And he says, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In order to fulfill his satisfaction, Jesus says that my works are the works of God. And my food, well, my food is doing what God has called me to do. I want to know, are you eating today? Are you drinking from the well of God? Is it your will to do the work of the Father? Or are you just kind of faking it? And if you're faking it, you know, people know who you are. They see who you are, and you will not save not one blessed soul until you identify with the Christ and tell people that you met him at the well. The greatest satisfaction with Jesus at this time is teaching that Samaritan woman than worrying about any food the disciples can ever give him. He's engaged with our spiritual well-being, and he's not concerned with anything else. Have you ever been so engaged with someone's spiritual being that you're not worried about anything else? You might have gotten an argument this morning with somebody, or you're encouraged to pray about their spiritual being. You might have got slighted on your job, or you're encouraged with their spiritual being. You might be a little sick and you just don't understand why you're suffering the way, or you're encouraged with the inner man that God's going to give you strength to recover, or you're just encouraged by knowing that God is there. Jesus not only takes this opportunity to teach the Samaritan woman, he takes the opportunity to teach his disciples as well. Let me tell you something. He could have took a bite to eat, and if he would have took a bite to eat, then none of this discussion would have occurred at all. But he wants the disciples to learn something. He wants to direct them to a higher spiritual life. He wants their hearts to be uplifted and know that I am the Christ. And know that my message is that if you serve God and do his will, that is the ultimate priority in life. And it's a greater priority than any physical demand that you can ever think about. It's the work of God, church. It's the work of God that sustains a true disciple. I don't care how long you've been married. Marriage does not sustain us. It's the work of God. I don't care how long you've been eating steak. Food does not sustain us. It's the work of God. I don't care how wealthy you are. Wealth does not sustain us. It's working for God. Nothing will bring us better satisfaction in this life except doing the work of God. But you see, we get satisfied with too many other things in our lives. We settle for the so-and-so. We don't settle for the things that we can do for God. We do for God after. Oh, he gonna get his part? I'm gonna give you yours, God, but just give me a chance to do me. Let me do my own thing. I gotta do me. Why? Because it's about me right now, God. It's about me. I'm going to get to you a little bit later. Nothing in this world will bring you satisfaction like doing the work of God. You see, it's what upholds your life. It's what it means when Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone. That's what it means. But every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And Jesus, through this lesson at the well, is showing us that very truth as well. There's a chance, church, I'm telling you, that your well might just run dry. Our joy and our life is to do the will of the Father. The psalmist declares this in Psalm chapter 40, verse number 8, I have come to do God's will. Can you say that? Can you say that every waking moment of your life, I have come to do the will of God? You see, Jesus said that in verse 34. He's accomplishing and completing God's work in us. So as disciples of God, we must also continue and complete the work of the Lord, because Christ is the head of the body. And we are that body. All of us members in particular, we do the work of God. True life lived in the shadow of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. True life lived in that shadow is living in full submission to the Father. But all too often, our food is junk food. All too often, our food is entertainment and not God's will. All too often, our food is worldly pleasures and not God's will. All too often, our food is about us and our fame and not about God's will. All too well, our food is about drink that's unsobering. Amen. It's the wrong spirit and it's not according to God's will. Our food is success and anything that is physical and worldly. But these things are empty. They can never satisfy. They can never sustain you. Never. We are saved to serve. We are saved to serve and conform to the will of the God that created us. We've got to see that. Jesus teaches us in chapter 4, verses 35 through 38 that we've got to have an urgency about this evangelism thing, about sitting and knowing who people are. Let me tell you, too many times we look at John chapter 4 and all we see are just a couple of things. We see this woman that has had five husbands. And we also see the fact that Jews and Samaritans are not supposed to be around each other. Today is the most segregated day in the world right now. This is it. We're supposed to be sitting at the well with Jesus talking to people that are of different ethnicities. I don't think you get what I'm telling you here. We got white brethren and black brethren. What in the Sam Hill is that? Can somebody tell me that? What is that? We are the Lord's body. We are the church. There's neither Jew nor Greek nor Scythian nor free. But we are one in Christ Jesus. Why are we sitting at the well contemplating whether we're going to get along with our white brother, our Jewish brother, our black brother? Why are they contemplating getting along with us? If we sit with Christ at the well, we ought to be satisfied with just knowing that Jesus is all we need. But we worry about other things, about skin color. And Jesus said we got to be urgent about what it is we're doing. Paul said the same thing in 1 Corinthians 3:6. He says, you know what? I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God who gives the increase to us. Typically, when you see a seed planted, it takes a lot of months before the harvest is to be reaped. In fact, apparently they had a saying back then that says, you know, in 4 months, the harvest is going to come. 4 months. So just sit back for 4 months and watch it come. But that's not the case right now. Jesus says, I want you to lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for the harvest. Open your eyes and look around. There are a lot of people who need their souls saved. And what are you doing? What are you doing about it? Are you saving your own soul? Or are you keeping all the water for yourself? Look in verse 30. Jesus said, based on the woman's proclamation to the city, the people were leaving the town and they were coming to Jesus. Can you imagine in your mind's eye a multitude of people just coming to Jesus because of what you've said and done? Can you imagine a multitude of people just when you look, you can see them coming to Jesus because of the way you live your life? Can you imagine the multitude of people coming to Jesus because of the things that you've spoken out of this truth? Can you imagine a multitude of people coming to Jesus because you've given them the water from the well of life? I'm talking about you giving it to them, not holding it back. You know, one thing I learned growing up in Gramercy, that Mississippi River right there, you know what they used to say all the time? You can go out there and swim if you want, but you can't swallow all that water. Let me tell you something. You can't swallow all the water that God has for us. We've got to be able to give it out. We've got to go to the well and sit there. And when other people come to the well, we've got to engage them so they can have the same water of life that we have. We can't drink it all. Imagine a multitude of people coming to Jesus because of you, and Jesus standing right beside you, holding his arms and says, look, here they come. Here they come. Boy, that'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? The harvest is now. The time is now. And this is the food of Jesus, to do God's will. And he's specifically teaching the Samaritans that were outside of the ark of God that you too can have eternal life. You can have it. In verses 36 to 38, we see what's transpiring in this message. The disciples have done none of the sowing, Jesus says, but they're doing the reaping. None of the sowing, but they're reaping because the crowds are pouring into the town to see Jesus. Jesus and the woman have done the sowing, and their work has led to the reaping. As a disciple of Jesus, I got to tell you, we have to have a sense of urgency about doing the work of the Lord, particularly sowing and reaping with the word of God. And we've got to be excited about it. This is no solemn closed-eye ceremony. This is about getting it done. We've got to be excited. Let somebody throw a party after church and see how excited we're going to be. Well, I got to get out of here, Brother Collins. I got a party going on in about 10 minutes. I'm kind of excited about that. You ever left a party to come to church? Okay. Listen, it's something you need to think about. Because at that well of Jacob, there was a woman talking to Jesus. And the disciples wanted to know why Jesus is talking to that woman. For it's clearly something that they wouldn't have done. How many people do you look around and you know full well you won't talk to them because of who they are, because of how they look, because of what they do? How many would you not talk to? How many would you not bring to the well to meet Jesus? See, she was so low on the social ladder that she would have been ignored by most Jewish rabbis, by most preachers. Don't be bothered with her. But Jesus' food is saving souls. Therefore, as disciples of Jesus, we've got to have the same urgency and intensity in saving the souls of those that are lost. I mean, John 3:16-17 spells it out for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world through him might be saved. Might be saved. The Father gave us the Son to save people. The Father gave us the Son to save us. The Father gave us the Son to save me and my wretched soul.
Yet I do not have the gratitude to bring somebody else to the watering hole. I can't do it. Because we live the fact in our lives, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I did all I can do for him. I told him about the church. Get out of here with that foolishness. You better tell him more about the church. You better tell him about Jesus. And you better get in a hurry to do it. Because it takes more than all these churchy people. The good news of salvation can only be transmitted by us pulling up beside somebody and talking to them. We got to talk to them. Got to talk to them. You know, we've been led to believe that if we live a good moral life, people are going to see our lives and they're going to become Christians just because of what they see. People will only glorify God by our good works and our holy lives if we tell them that's the reason we live in our lives and that's why we do it. The people only came to town because they knew who the Samaritan woman was. She had five husbands. She was Liz Taylor of her time. And they knew that. But because she left from the foot of Jesus and went to tell them about who she had met, these people pouring into town to meet the one that she had encountered. How many people you brought to town to see Jesus? How many will you bring to see Jesus? Has your well run dry? Bring them to the well where Jesus is that they might receive the water of life. Can you do it? Will you do it? Will you do it? Not about being good, because if you keep quiet and do good, people will not know that you are a disciple of Jesus. If you keep quiet and do good, they're not going to know it from your lifestyle. You better start telling somebody that you've met the Christ. Disciples will never save our soul. They're not concerned with that at all right now. They're not going to save her by ignoring her, and you're not going to save anybody by ignoring them as well. You're not going to save yourself either by ignoring God. It's our work that we plant the seed of God's word and let God do the watering. Verses 39 through 42 is a stark contrast to a lot of things in this chapter. Because the disciples don't understand why Jesus is talking to this woman in the first place. And why the woman is talking to the whole town now that she's found the Christ. She goes into the city and she proclaims that there's a man at the well who was able to know her life story. Verse 39 says these words, "Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony." Can I put your name there? Many people in Gretna believed on the Christ. Put your name in there because of your testimony. How true would that be? Can it ever be true? Will you ever speak about Christ and the life that he's given to you? If you really encountered Christ and you're truly converted, you're going to talk about him all the time. You're going to let people know, this is why I am who I am, because of the Christ that is in me. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ that lives in me. I'm crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. People are believing because of the woman's testimony. She's become a catalyst for these people coming to Jesus. And Jesus stands right there beside her and says, "Look, look at them. Here they come. Here they come." What a wonderful thing to see and to celebrate. I want us to consider one thing about this woman that you might not have ever considered. She didn't have everything figured out. Too many people feel they got to have everything figured out before they can bring somebody to Christ, right? Let me tell you about this woman. She didn't have it all figured out because she didn't know everything about the law of Moses. She was a Samaritan. Amen. She didn't even know very much to tell people about Jesus because she had never met him. Amen. She was only with him for a short while. She was not a Bible scholar. All she did was tell people to come and see this man called Jesus. I got a hot fact for you. Anybody can do that. All of us can say, come and see the place where I worship the Lord. You can do that. All of us can say, come and listen to God's word. Come and listen to the Bible lesson, to the word preached. All of us can say, can you come with us to the upcoming VBS Bible series? All of us can tell people about how Jesus has changed our lives and ask them to come and experience the same thing. We can tell people about the new birth that is available. We must never underestimate that we are able to do it because it is the power of God and His word that saves. It's not about us. Not about us. All we're doing is inviting people to come and see. Come and see. Unless we feel that we have everything already worked out and don't know that our well has run dry, we'll never see where we are in our spiritual walk, and no one else will ever see the Christ in us because our well has run dry. It's dry. There are too many Christians that have a dry attitude, dry personality. They have dry speech. They even tell dry jokes. Why? Because their lives are not saturated with the word of God. They went out there to the world, and it's all dried up now. We need God to rain down on us the waters of life that we might be able to tell somebody else what God has done. Or maybe He didn't do anything for you. I can't know. I know you're breathing. Well, that's good enough right there for me. Amen. Let me tell you something. I made 57 years old today, and I thank God that I made that because I've got uncles who never, ever saw that age. Never saw it. I thank God for life, and I'm praying to God that I got 51 more to go. Amen. Talk about drinking some water. Listen. We have a calling to tell people to come and see the Christ. And it makes our lives a natural extension of the satisfaction and the sustenance that we get from doing the will of God. When our joy in life is doing God's will, then we have an urgency to share the good news, which leads us to tell people to just come on in. Come on in. We've got to lift up our eyes, as Jesus told the disciples, lift up our eyes and see the harvest is ripe. It's ripe right now. And change our focus to the highest priority of life. Church, we've got to penetrate through the physical and materialistic thinking so people can see their need for a Savior. We've got to use our conversations to move people, not to think about the comfort and convenience of the physical life, but to think about eternal and spiritual things. We've got to get on the move. We've got to ask questions about what they think happens after death. Ask people if they believe that there's a God. Ask people if there's a purpose to this life. Ask people about all kinds of things with an eternal impact to cause people to think beyond right now. We've got to cause people to think about eternity. So in some small way or fashion, they can break free of their spiritual blindness. You know, Jesus told a story back in the book of Matthew about the blind leading the blind in a ditch. And too many people standing by the ditch, groping in the darkness, waiting to fall in. We've got to be able to be the light of the world to bring people out of their spiritual darkness, out of the blindness, before it's too late. Let me tell you what's wonderful in this story. The Bible says the word many, many. Many more Samaritans also come to believe than Jesus, and he stays in Samaria for 2 more days. And in John records an important truth for us. He says Samaritans recognize that Jesus is the Savior of the world. What a wonderful thing to recognize. He's not just my Savior. You just can't keep him for yourself. He's the Savior of the world, not the Savior of the Jews alone. Even though the Jews don't like me and we at odds with each other, we prejudice against each other, he's not just your Savior. There are too many people who feel like God is only their savior. He's not the savior of them people over there, but they're going to church. He's the savior of the world. He's come to save every person, regardless of heritage, background, ethnicity. It's a theme of universal redemption, church. And it continues to this day. And we can continue it ourselves if we would just understand God's words to the woman at the well of Jacob. This is what he says in John chapter 4, verses 12 through 15. I need you to understand that, not just that superficial stuff, five husbands and... Listen what he says. The woman saith unto him, Sir, chapter 4, verse 12, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where then hast thou that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal, everlasting life. Do you have that well inside you? And if you got that well inside you, has that well dried up, or is that well springing up into everlasting life? The woman said to Jesus, Sir, give me this water because I don't want to thirst anymore. And I don't want to come here to have to draw no more water. Isn't that something? I don't have to go out to the world to get what I need. Lord, I want you to sustain me with the water of life right now. Give it to me for everlasting life. The secret to satisfaction is doing the will of the Father. Jesus told that woman that the water he offers will cause us to never thirst again. And the food that I have, even though I know you went to get food, the food that I have is to do the will of the Father. And it's those things that sustain me, Jesus was saying. When we experience God's grace and recognize God's will to save the world, it ought to compel us to tell other people about it, to come and see the changed life that can be found in Jesus Christ. Listen, you are the light of the world, church. It's you. It's you. Shining in darkness, trying to open the eyes of the blind. It's you. Don't let your well run dry. Now is the time for living water to continue to flow through us from the well of Jesus to the rest of this dark, dying, sinful world. But the question still remains. You've got to ask yourself this question. Listen to me. Has your well run dry? And if it hadn't run dry, is the water not clear? Is it muddied by the world, the cares of the world? Is it filled with the sediments of sin? If your well is not dry, then why are you taking your well for granted and assume that you're pumping out an ample amount of clean, quality water? Everybody wants to think they're doing what's right all the time. For there's not a man on earth who does what is right and never sins. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 20. Not a man on this earth who pumps out water that's clear and clean all the time. But you don't have to, because our water comes from the source of life, Jesus Christ. The water that he gives is going to spring up into us and give us life and give it to somebody else too. But you got to bring them to the well. And your well has to put out water that's enough to sustain the life of someone else as well. But your water has reduced over time. Your output has reduced. So the only way, church, to be sure that your well is not going dry is to open up the cover and measure the water level. It's time to examine yourself. It's time to open yourself up to God and see where your water level is in your well. and make sure you've got enough in there that it might spring up into everlasting life. This water that I'm going to give to you, you will never thirst again, he says. Isaiah 44:3-5. I appreciate you, brother, reading the scripture. Listen to what it says now in light of this lesson. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in the meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams. Some will say, I belong to the Lord. Others will call themselves by the name Jacob. Still others will write in their hand, the Lord's, and will take the name of Israel. You know, Jesus went on his high mountain, and he said on that mountain, he said in Matthew 5:6, he says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Happy when you're thirsty, but come to the well for your drink. Be happy. Let me tell you two things that I understand about this lesson. Is that righteousness and salvation are going to live together at the well of Christ. Come to the well, for there is where your righteousness lies. And that water that you're going to get is for the salvation of your souls for an eternity if you continue to drink. But there are too many people that are drinking alone. That's what evangelism is all about. You don't have to drink alone, and you shouldn't aspire to drink alone. Give it freely. Give the word of God freely. Let somebody else drink from the fountain of youth, from the fountain of life. From the tree of life. Give it. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, Ephesians 2:8. It's a gift of God. We've got to hear God's word, church. Galatians 3:22 says this. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. The Samaritan woman believed that Jesus was the Christ. There are people here today that have been baptized into Christ and still don't believe that he's the Christ because you don't want to give anybody a share of the well. So repent of your sins and start doing it. Jesus said, they that are whole need not a physician. It's the ones that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Got to repent of our sins. Got to know what it means. We got to confess Christ. You know, Proverbs 28:13 says these words. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses his sins and forsakes his sins shall have mercy from God. We're waiting on you. You got to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Galatians 3:26-27. For we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You know, here's another little nugget for you in John 4. He talks about worshiping God in spirit and in truth, right? You know what he tells them? He says, you can go up on that hill if you want. He said, but the hill is obsolete now. It's a moot point. I know you went up on the hill to worship something that you didn't even know nothing about. But now you're going to worship me in spirit and in truth. What does that say? If you're going to teach evangelism, let people know that they can only worship God in one place. There's 1,000 of them out there. But he says, it's not about the hill anymore because you're going to come and worship me right here at my feet in spirit and in truth. The gospel is yours this morning, church. Has your well run dry? Don't let it run dry. If you've never been to the well, God calls us to come now as we stand and sing his invitation song. Come to the well. Receive the waters of life.